Chapter 16, Section 2, Managing Inertia. We have the map, we can anticipate certain change and we can already see there is inertia. The question now becomes, what sort of inertia do we have? Back in 2008, I used to categorize inertia into four basic types with numerous subtypes. I've tidied this up since then. The basic forms of inertia are provided in Figure 205, including tactics to counter and counterpoints. See Figure 205, Inertia, for more details. All forms of inertia relate to some loss of capital, whether physical, social, financial, or political. We know that two groups, security and systems, are exhibiting inertia. However, such visible signs are usually not the problem as we're aware of it, and hence it can be managed. The danger is always the group that haven't quite made themselves clear. In the case of security, the inertia is probably related to two types. First, we have uncertainty over the use of a platform play and any co-evolved practices that might emerge. This will require investment in knowledge capital. We can overcome this with either training or providing time and resources to develop the necessary skills. We can certainly provide an argument that if we fail to do this, then the future cost of acquiring these skills will be higher and we will also miss out on shorter-term motivation for staff. The second type of inertia is changes to governance, management, and practices. Co-evolution is always difficult for people to get to grips with, as it means that their existing and perfectly valid best practice for a product world become no longer relevant. We can only overcome this by explaining co-evolution, usually by pointing to past examples. Both types of inertia are relatively simple to manage. Slightly trickier is the systems groups. Along with the two types of inertia mentioned above, we're likely to have two additional types, especially since the group builds and controls the underlying infrastructure behind any homegrown platform efforts. These additional types are loss of political capital and change of business relationship, loss of social capital. The loss of political capital includes fear over becoming irrelevant in the future, loss of status, and loss of past empire. Don't underestimate or dismiss this, as it's very uncomfortable for those who face it. You counter by giving people a path to the future and relevance in it. Start by acknowledging what has been achieved and move on to modernization. You need to emphasize the importance of future agility, efficiency, importance to the business, and how we must build for the future. You also must include them in this future. At this stage, with utility platforms just in the early stages of industrialization, then such action is relatively trivial. The co-evolved practices haven't been developed, and so there's plenty of time for training, reskilling, and the reapplication of essential system concepts from configuration management to versioning in a more utility platform world. In all likelihood, the biggest danger is that by helping your systems team develop into this world at this stage, they'll become super valuable in the not-so-distant future. It is, however, far better to have a small army of super valuable people that everyone else is trying to poach than to be left with a bunch of legacy skills and trying to desperately poach from others. The co-evolved practice will be different from the past, but someone has to develop that capability. No one yet has those skills, and why shouldn't it be your systems team? Unfortunately, what normally often happens is companies don't anticipate obvious changes and leave it late. This creates an added complication, which I'll discuss in a moment. The change of business relationship, loss of social capital, is the second additional type of inertia you must contend with. Within a company, there's often a pre-existing relationship with vendors who might be supplying products or services. This relationship creates inertia to change, i.e. we have our familiar and favorite vendor. In normal circumstances, you can deal with this inertia through normal vendor management approaches. You can emphasize that the time is right for a change, that the past has evolved and we need to re-evaluate the vendor's offering. However, there's the complication mentioned above. If you've left it late, then the vendor of a product may well be spreading huge amounts of fear, uncertainty, and doubt over the more utility form to your own team. They will probably have tried to convince your own team, for example in this case, our systems team, that they have no future in this future world. If they're canny, they would have encouraged articles in related trade press spreading the same message. This is all designed to get your own people buying the vendor's product rather than adopting to the new world. If you haven't had that conversation about the future and painted that path, this can make it much harder for you to overcome any loss of political capital. You can try and say, "Don't worry, but we'll invest in retraining," but this is also where any past Machiavellian efforts or brutal corporate action will bite you in the bottom. If there exists doubt in your trustworthiness, then they won't follow but will resist. Whatever you do, as annoying as it is to be confronted by this, remember one thing. They are behaving perfectly rationally. You are the Wally who left it late to deal with a highly anticipatable change and therefore caused the mess. If you want someone to blame, buy a mirror. Unfortunately, we all make mistakes. This is also why you must always consider not only our action today but the future consequences of such action. Having that trust can bail you out of your own face palm. However, we're not in that position with the LFP scenario yet. We shall assume we have a team who can have an open and honest conversation. We can anticipate where the future is heading with the map, and we're going to share this. We're going to have that discussion and invest time and money in bringing our systems and security teams into this new world with new skills and new capabilities. We leave no one behind, and we certainly don't turn up 5 years late to the battle in a blind panic. Alas, we might still have a problem. There's potentially another source of inertia, and it's a powerful one. The board. We know they have a concern but aren't going to raise an objection, yet. Now that can either be just a general question on the change or could be hiding something else. We need to explore that. It could be as simple as data for past success counteracts, i.e. they're used to us operating in one way and we've not been down this path. It could be concerns over loss of existing financial or physical capital because we've invested in data centers. It could be a question of political capital, or that one board member has looked at the model and wants to focus on short-term expected return rather than building a future. Whatever the cause, you need to find it and to fix it. That's one of your many jobs as the CEO. There are also many other forms of inertia, and so for completeness, though not necessarily relevant in the LFP scenario, we will quickly run through the other types of inertia: threat to barriers to entry, the fear that a change will enable new competitors. Whilst that fear may be justified, it is often an unavoidable change that is already happening in the market and outside of your control. You cannot ignore it. Cost of acquiring new skill sets is one of the more bizarre sources of inertia, because not only do you not have a choice, but the cost of acquiring skills will often increase over time. This is a common consequence of a punctuated equilibrium where huge numbers of companies that are very late to the party simultaneously declare this change as the future and promptly cause a shortage of skills. There are many ways to counter this and mitigate the cost, assuming this is done in a timely fashion, from developing in-house, use of conferences to creating centers of gravity to attract talent. Suitability. One reasonably common form of inertia comes in the form of questions over whether it's ready, for example, ready for production. Is the market ready for this? Are customers ready? The best way to counter is through weak signals and examination of the components, for example using the cheat sheet. Lack of second sourcing options is often a valid concern, but can be used to disguise other forms of inertia. Back in 2008, it was not uncommon to hear a company say, without irony, something of the form, "We're an Oracle shop. We've thought about using public cloud, but we're worried about the potential for getting locked in with Amazon. We want to see more choice." If you can overcome the irrational side of the debate and any tendency to point out the ridiculous flaw in the argument, then this is all about supply chain management, trade-offs, and use of standards where appropriate. There are a wide range of techniques to mitigate it. Lack of pricing competition is another reasonable concern, which really points to how well functioning the market is. Do we have single or multiple vendors? What are the switching costs? Loss of strategic control is usually wrapped up with fears of letting go, and in the cloud space led to the idea of server huggers. However, there are some valid aspects to the concern around buy versus supplier power relationship. Most of this can be overcome with strategic planning and examination of different scenarios, i.e. what should we do if the supplier rapidly increases price, etc. Declining unit value is usually a business concern related to a desire to maintain the past. The only way to counter is through awareness of evolution and how markets aren't static. You need to look at alternatives, opportunities, think Charles Handy's second curve, and try to avoid the spiral of death. Data for past success counteracts, an extremely common form of inertia, particularly if the company has been successful. Most companies build up a significant stock of data that informs them how successful the past was. This will often be used to argue that the future will be more of the same. You need to take a leaf out of portfolio management and realize that your portfolio will change over time. Options analysis and risk management approaches can be useful here to avoid having all your eggs in one past basket. Resistance from rewards and culture, hugely problematic for most companies and easily exploitable by competitors. Performance bonuses linked to selling an existing product set can be a significant source of inertia and weakness. You can manage this through HR by using higher rewards for adaptation, education, longer-term thinking, and promoting greater situational awareness. External financial markets reinforce existing models, another common but tricky form of inertia to deal with. As discussed in the XREF, hashtag chapter 15 on the practice of scenario planning previous chapter, it's important to understand your context and the role being played by others such as fund managers. There are certain techniques that can be deployed here to overcome market inertia, including spinning a future story.